Yesterday we started the sugya of Gimel Malchus Din, and we pointed out that it all starts in Daf Yudam Beis with the Mishnah and the Gemara on Yudam Beis, and then we have but Rashi doesn't really give us much on Daf Yudam Beis in terms of Gimel Malchus Din. He first hints to some sort of explanation of it on Daf Tes Amud Beis, where he refers to the Mishnah, where the Gemara refers to the Mishnah that we're going to have in Daf Yudam Beis. Just to frame the sugya maybe a little bit better than we did yesterday, we're going to try to go through several shitas from Rishonim as to what din of the Malchus Din is based on. Where does it come from? Meaning, this is a din, so it obviously has to come from somewhere. So obviously, when we're asking that question, we're going to, by answering that question, we're going to determine whether it's a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan, which is obviously always the first question you have to ask when it comes to any din, whether it's a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan. But once we clarify that, we'll then be able to answer a whole bunch of supplementary questions, I guess, that relate to Din of the Malchus Dina. First of all, which laws does it apply to? Is it any din that the Malchus makes? Is it only monetary law? Is it only law that relates to karka, or even law that relates to non-karka? Is it ritual law? That would be an extreme, obviously, if they held that you have to go to mass on Sundays or something. Would you have to do that? Is it what about laws that aren't money and aren't ritual? What about jaywalking or anything? Is that included in Dina de Malchus Adina? And that obviously is going to depend largely on where we learn Dina de Malchus Adina. Is it only laws that benefit the king? What if it has nothing to do with the king? He just feels like making a law. So he decides in a certain province everyone should wear blue shirts on Tuesday. He's not even going to visit the province. He doesn't even get to see people wearing blue shirts on Tuesday. But that's what he decided he wants to do. So is he authorized to do that also? Does it have to make sense? Does it have to be fair? Does it have to be just? What kind of laws are covered with Din Malchus Din? And that's obviously the most important nafkamina in terms of what the source is to answer those kinds of questions. The other question is which kings are included? Who determines what's a melech? Din of the Malchus Din, is it dafka din the melech? Is it din in any government? Malchusa is not a melech, it's a malchus. But what does that mean? The government of our country, a state government? What if there's a pirate that comes in and takes over, by force, takes over a place for a few months? So is he now authorized because he's the one that could kill you if you step out of line? So he's now authorized to make laws? What gives someone the authority to make laws? Who is the malchus in Din of the Malchusa? A third issue we're going to have to deal with is which places? Where does Din of the Malchus Din apply? Does it apply everywhere in the world? Or does it only apply in Chutz Laretz? Does it only apply in Eretz Yisrael? Right, well, what are the possibilities of, and why? Why would it apply in some place and not others? So we have to see. Again, all depends where it comes from. And then the final question that we have to deal with is Dina de Malchus Adina something that only relates to Jew and non-Jew relating to each other? That if there's a case between a Jew and a non-Jew, so the Jew is going to say, I want to follow Dine Torah, the non-Jew is going to say, I want to follow the Dine Malchus. So the Torah tells us Dine Malchus Adina, to deal with the case between Jew and non-Jew, just go along with the non-Jew, Dine Malchus Adina, go with his set of laws. But maybe when it's Jew versus Jew, we shouldn't apply Din of Malchus Adina, because we have, well, why should I follow the Din of a Malchus? Din of a Malchus, because some bureaucrat somewhere thought of a law that he wanted to propose, and a bunch of lobbyists convinced their politicians to pass that into law, so that's more important than Dine Torah that come from the Ribbono Shel Olam that represent the wisdom of the Almighty. Why is it? It's an insult. It's an insult to Torah to follow a Dina de Malchusa. So maybe between Jew and Jew we should ignore Dina de Malchusa. Maybe that should only be a din between Jew and non-Jew. So that's also something we're going to have to figure out. So we started with Rashi yesterday. Rashi in Daf Tes Amud Beis doesn't say it explicitly where it comes from, but he certainly drops a major hint. First of all, on one of the detailed questions, the last detailed question that we just asked, Rashi is explicit. He says, yeah, Dina Malchus Dina va'afal pishar nosin va'makabal Yisraelim here. Right? Rashi says explicitly, which is tremendous chiddush, that it applies to two Jews. That even when it's two Jews with each other, we're still going to apply Dina Malchus. That's a huge chiddush, because that's an insult to the Torah. Much like we had the sugya last year in Sanhedrin, when we were discussing Pshara. So what's the whole debate about Pshara? is how can you take the chal? Why would you? What would be wrong with pshar? Such a great idea. Get everyone happy. Have everyone walk out of court feeling like, you know, that was just. Remember, we said pshar doesn't mean one guy says you owe me $100, the other guy says nothing, so we say, okay, 50. That's not pshara, because that could be that they'll both walk out unhappy. Pshara is, you come up with some sort of agreement that both of them could see that it makes sense. They may not both be thrilled with it, but they can both see that it makes sense, that it's a logical thing. But it's not the din. So what's wrong with pshara? So those tanaim and amoraim who were not fans of pshara probably didn't like it because it says dinim in the Torah. We have the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu how to adjudicate dinim and how to run our lives. Why should we follow just some baich svara that someone came up with because he thinks that that's going to make people happy? So very similar idea over here. How can you have two Jews that are involved in the debate? Torah, Moshe Rabbis for Sarah Rabbis. What are we going to go to dinim the Malchusa for? But yet Rashi says, yeah, we follow dinim the Malchusa even when it's between two Yisraeli. We point out that the raya is from the fact that the Mishnah lists the Gemara mentions the Salach in the context of chutz migitei nashim, that all these shtaros that come out from archaos, that come out from secular courts, are kosher except for gitei nashim. And we know that gitei nashim obviously involves two Jews. So if dina malchus dina only applies between Jew and Gentile, then gitei nashim is not an exception. Gitei nashim doesn't even fit the rule in the first place. It's between two Jews, otherwise there would be no divorce. So obviously that must be where Rashi gets it from, that it even applies between two Jews. But why would it apply between two Jews? So for that we need to understand where Rashi's coming from. Where does Rashi believe Dina Malchusa comes from? So what I want to do is I want to go through the Rishonim and the Echronim in terms of where they believe Dina Malchusa comes from, and then go back according to each Shita and try to answer the five questions. Is it Daraisa Drabanan? Which laws are included? Which kings are included? Which places are included? And does it apply between Jew and Jew, or only between Jew and non-Jew? So with Rashi, let's take Rashi first. Chutz migitei nashim zok Rashi, delav b'nei krisus ninhu. Rashi tests on the base at the top. Why is it chutz migitei nashim? Why is dina malchus dina something that's not going to cover gitei nashim? Because goyim are not b'nei krisus, they can't make a get. Because they can't get divorced, and people can't get divorced, can't make a get either. But Bnei Noach are mitzuvin in dinim. They do have to make laws. And that's why Rashi doesn't say it straight out, but the end of that sentence should be, and that's why their laws are binding. Because they have to make laws. So anyone who has to make laws, their laws are going to be binding. Now, that seems to be Rashi's telling us, and this is where Zalman Meltzer understands Rashi as well, is that, as we explained yesterday, if Hashem is going to say, you need to set up a system of laws, so what kind of joke is that? Hashem is going to say, you set up a system of laws, and then we're going to laugh at them and violate them and break them? That's what's the point of telling them to set up a system of laws if we're not going to respect those laws? So it must be that if they are required to set up a system of laws, that a law by definition means something that needs to be observed, that needs to be kept, and if we're not going to keep it, then it's not a law. So that's where they get the authority. So right there. That's where they get the authority, because the Mitzuvah and Din. Daraisa Drabanan. That Daraisa Drabanan. Let's go through the questions. Daraisa, why? Shev Mitzvah and Daraisa, right? The Mitzuvah and Shev Mitzvah and Daraisa. So it's Daraisa. Rashi just tells that this is an extension of Shev Mitzvah and Noach, that included in Shev Mitzvah and Noach. Since they have to set up a system of law, we have to follow those laws. Now, if you didn't have Rashi telling you one way or the other, would you have said, based on this svara, it applies between Jew and Jew, or that it only applies between Jew and Gentile? What would you have thought?
Jew and Gentile.
Why?
Because we're talking about Bnei Noach specifically.
That so they have to say, yeah, but I'm living in their country. I live in America. They have a chiyuv to set up laws in America. So, based on that chiyuv, should that make me follow their laws when, let's say, I buy a house from another Jew? Should I have to register it in their, in their system? And should I have to, I don't know. Can I just write a regular shtar with two kosher edim, with Jews? Can I do it all in a beis din? Or if I get into a dispute with my neighbor about something, about a monetary issue, I should go to a court? Shouldn't I just go to a beis din? Right? Meaning, so how do you see the fact that they have to set up laws? What would you think? Meaning, what would you think? According to Rashi, if they have to set up laws, does that mean that I should follow their laws even when dealing with another Jew?
Just the way he says it. I mean, the fact, the way he says it, that they have to set up laws, I don't think that, what does that have to do with us? It's saying, in your relationship with them, this is what they have to do. I mean, they have to do that anyway, but the Lashon of Rashi,
themselves.
I'm saying the Lashon of Rashi doesn't hint to saying anything about between us. It's only between us and them. Just saying, just when you read Rashi.
Okay, it may depend on what kinds of laws we're talking about. Meaning, it may depend on whether us doing the Jewish thing is considered breaking the non-Jewish law. Meaning, we're not allowed to break their laws because we have to respect their laws. Why do we have to respect the laws? Because the Torah told them to make it. So if they have to make those laws, then we need to respect those laws. So if between a Jew and a Jew, let's say you can arrange that when you have a monetary dispute that you settle it yourselves. That's not breaking any law, right? You certainly settle it yourselves. There's no problem with that. So in that case, okay, it's between a... That's not breaking any laws. So then we should follow the Jewish laws. But if it would involve breaking their laws, if following our laws would involve breaking their laws, so then maybe that would be a problem, because their laws have to be binding. Even if it's between Jew and Jew. Somehow, I'm trying to think of an example, if somehow a dispute between a Jew and a Jew, settling it in a Beis Din would involve breaking their laws, let's say, I'll give you this case. Let's say a Jew does something that involves some sort of physical punishment, like a malchus, right? So that would be breaking their laws to actually give the malchus. It's against the law. You know, that's assault, right? You know, they're batidin, don't do that. They're achos, don't do that. So we're doing malchus, we're doing cover that. So even if it resulted from something that was between Jew and Jew, it may be that we're not allowed to do it. That's what Rashi says, even because if they're allowed to make a law, we have to respect those laws. Those laws become dinim d'oraisa, it sounds like. And they would therefore outweigh any of our own dinim. Yeah?
And wouldn't it be usher to live in that land?
Wouldn't it be usher to live there? So maybe that's the chiddush of din melchizedek. No, that's a din d'oraisa. Din d'oraisa is that you have to follow.
So then, maybe people would start living places where they know that you can't get malchus. You know, like.
Yeah,
inochinami. It's almost like the definition of galus. I'm saying that word. Outside.
Right. That's the definition of galus. So which leads to the next question: would this apply in Eretz Yisrael? Let's say there's a non-Jewish government, the Turkish, the British, whoever was running the land. So would you say Din Malchus Adina applies in Eretz Yisrael or not, based on this? What would you think?
Yeah,
meaning a God. What's the they have to set a dinim. Where do they have to set a dinim? Wherever their rulership extends. And if they happen to rule over Eretz Yisrael, rightly or wrongly, whether we like it or not, you know, that's part of the definition of Galus, is that sometimes we have, you know, hopefully we're on the path to Gula now that we have Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, but, you know, that's part of their obligation. Whatever land they rule over, they have to set up laws, and therefore we have to follow their laws. It would turn out, though, what if you have a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael? That's setting up laws, but the laws are not Dinei Torah. Hard to imagine, right? This Jewish government in Israel sets up laws that the laws are not Dinei Torah. Would you have to follow those laws? And this is not saying Allah l'maisa, I'm saying according to Rashi. Svara. People sometimes think everything that comes out of their mouth is like a halacha shir. So we could talk and learning also. It doesn't always have to be a halacha shir. Right? So what would you say? In Svara, Mamdus, according to Rashi.
There is a Dimachus Adina by Jews. I mean, there is. It's the
there
Torah.
Isn't. No, you're right. Right, it's the Torah.
Yeah.
Meaning, if the whole source of Din Malchus Din is Shev Mitzvahs B'nai Noah, that they have a requirement to set up Dinim, and those Dinim should be whatever is fair, whatever is ethical, whatever makes sense. Yeah, good. That's for them. For us, for Jews. So by what authority does the Israeli government have to set up laws that are contrary to Dinei Torah? They're Jews. They have to set up laws that fit the Dinei Torah.
What would be an example of something that's contrary? Just
that's contrary to dinim, any dinim mamonis issue that doesn't require two edim, that where they allow karov to be a kosher eid, let's say, which any legal system in the world probably allows a karov to be a kosher eid. It's just a question that they have to make a judgment call whether they trust him or not. Yeah. Or an isha to be an eid.
So we have to have like a Sanhedrin?
Yeah, meaning if Jews are running the show, then Jews should run the show like Jews. Yeah, al pi haTorah, l'chor. Now, the ancillary issue that touches on this point is there is a discussion in the Rishonim when there's a mitzvah for Bnei Noach to set up dinim. Is their mitzvah to set up dinei Torah, or is their mitzvah to set up whatever dinim they think makes sense? That itself is a significant discussion in the Rishonim. I just saw it today over here in the Shmuos on Gittin. He quotes. He quotes some of the Rishonim the Ramah and the Tshuva. I think we discussed this last year. The Ramah and the Tshuva in Siman Yud explains that the Machlokas Rishonim, whether the Goyim have to set up dinim that conform to Dine Torah, or meaning that which is, by the way, the Shita of the Ramban on Chumash. The Ramban holds the dinim that Mitztavu Bnei Noach are could be Israel, or the dinim mamonis that Israel has. So yeah, they have to set up a system of monetary law. And you know what system of monetary law they have to set up, says the Ramban? Choshen Mishpat. That's what they have to set up. So then they would only be authorized to implement monetary law. If Rashi were to hold that way, then we wouldn't have to follow any of the laws that don't conform to Dine Torah. But if Rashi were to hold like the Rambam, that they could set up whatever makes sense, and that's what they're authorized and encouraged and mechuyev to do, then we'd have to follow those laws. The Ramah writes in the Tshuva, this depends on the Machlokas, two deus in Sanhedrin Nun Vavam Beis, where we learn the requirement to set up dinim from. The Gemara learns how we know, tries to figure out how we know from Sukkim all the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. So one opinion is from the word Vayitzav, and the other is from Elokim. That if you learn from Vayitzav, so they just set up dinim based on their own seichel, their own whatever makes sense. If it's Elokim, we learn that they're chayiv in only in the dinim that it's Nistavu Yisrael, because it's the Dinei Hashem, that they have to set up the same dinim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has set up for us. So there may be that's obviously something that's going to have a major impact on how we understand Shitas Rashi. But we'll stick with the understanding that Rashi assumes that Dinim Malchus Dina applies to anything that makes sense for the functioning of society. Okay? So it would turn out, according to Rashi, in Eretz Yisrael, there should be no Dina de Malchus Dina with a Jewish government, only with a non-Jewish government. Right? If the Jewish government Eretz Yisrael should not be Dina de Malchus Dina. It is a Din d'Oraisa. Rashi says explicitly that it even applies between Jew and Jew, although that, we said, is somewhat debatable, whether that flows logically from Rashi's own Shita. Which kings? Who counts as a Malchus? According to Rashi. Counts as a melech. What would define a melech? Right? If dinim malchus dinah comes from the requirement of making dinim, b'nei noach to make dinim, so what defines a melechus?
He doesn't say melech, he doesn't specify.
Right, meaning it would be whoever is
in charge.
Right, whoever's in charge. Whoever is charged with making sure that things run smoothly. Would it have to be melech? Could it be a democracy? Yeah, we'll apply to democracy also, because that's who's in charge of making sure that things run smoothly. So it's a whole bureaucracy that's in charge of making sure that things run smoothly, and that's fine. That's also part of the mitzvah of dinim. And dinim would apply in America. Would apply to democracy also. L'chor, according to Raj.
But it wouldn't apply to pirates or someone taking over.
L'chor or not? Right? L'chor or not?
Wait, why not?
Because it's not,
because it's not their mitzvah to set up dinim. It's their mitzvah.
Why? If they're in control. Who's ever in control?
I guess, meaning if they're in control for a while, meaning it's a... Right, I guess...
If it's a while, it doesn't matter.
No, but they're also not...
Why does it make a difference?
Because they're not acting...
It may depend on whether they are...
How do you know they're going to last for more than...
True.
You don't know who's in control of the flow. I'm saying...
Right, meaning when there's complete chaos and there's just fighting and there's...
Tokens in the world, but chalas. I'm saying like the country has officially like a president, but really they're mishubed to like a Western power. So I'm saying, so like, would you
No, because that the generally the Western power will not be interested in getting involved in the claimikite of traffic law and monetary small claims disputes and things like that. They want their country to figure it out.
Yeah, like a situation.
The Iraqi law does not conform, even though the United States played a critical role in having them set up a system of government and of their law does not at all conform to American law.
But let's say in terms of Eretz Yisrael in the UN. Right, so I'm saying, so would they at all, let's say it was a different country, and so the UN says one thing, and they have a lot of hashpah in terms of Eretz Yisrael.
So, in terms of war crimes and things like that.
So I'm saying, would it be illegal to...
Yeah, so maybe it wouldn't even apply to that, because it's just whatever would keep a country running normally.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, so would it apply to... Which laws would it apply to? Ritual law, monetary law, just land? No, obviously not just land, because to keep a country running normally, you need to have laws about all sorts of things. So you need to have laws about, jaywalking, I guess. I don't even know why that's necessary. But you need to have laws about whatever, about anything that makes sense in order for people to get along and not to kill each other. Yeah?
Going back to what you said before about whether when the din that they have to make laws is just to deem them if they have to make according to Abiyat Torah, or if they just says what makes sense to them. If you say what we just said that they have to make laws for everything, then why would it be that they have to make the laws Abiyat Torah? Because our pratim, you don't kill and you can't, I don't know, don't steal, is that also one of them? I think.
Yeah.
I'm saying, I don't remember them all, but I'm saying there are pratim, these things you can't do. Meaning, and if it was, it says it explicitly, and if it would have been, it would have also, I feel like it also would have said explicitly that you have to do it, minotaro. I mean, since there are pratim, and this is not necessarily...
Okay, so you're just asking, in that machlokas, how could you say that it needs to be...
Yeah, going back to that,
How could it not be more explicit in the Gemara that that's what they have to do, or at least explicit... Nothing's explicit in the... it would have to be more explicit in the Gemara, at least. Not in the Torah, but at least more explicit in the Gemara that this is what defines din. Okay, I hear it. I don't know.
It had to do with this necessarily, but just
Right, I hear it. I'm not sure. We then saw yesterday a second shita and rishonim.
So, of course, Rashi would apply to wearing blue on Tuesdays or something.
Ah, so would it apply to wearing blue on Tuesdays? What do you think?
I'd say why not, but
I would say no, because what are they mitzvah to do? They're mitzvah to make sure society runs normally. Wearing blue on Tuesday doesn't help society run normally. Or if they were to say that everyone should has to wear red, white, and blue on July 4th. Does that help society at all?
Keeps people united.
Okay,
I'm sure they can come up with psychological
reasons.
Maybe that was a bad example, but okay. They don't have to wear red, white, and blue underwear or something. No one's going to see anyway, okay?
Who says it's supposed to be to help society?
Okay, I'm making an assumption that that's what all Shavuot Mitzvot B'nei Noach are about. That all Shavuot Mitzvot B'nei Noach are just to keep us human, that because without it, people would just kill each other. So if that is true, that that's what all Shavuot Mitzvot, that's what the Rambam describes, that that's what all Shavuot Mitzvot B'nei Noach are about, then yeah, we'd only include those laws.
Do we have any random laws like that?
You got to think of examples. So the Shittas Rashbam. What are the Rashbam? So we saw yesterday, Rashbam Basra. Rashbam writes, Kol masim va'arnunios u'minhagu shal mishpim lachos sh'regilum l'harig malchusam dinuhu she'kol b'nei ha'malchus mekablum aleim eritzonam chukei ha'melch u'mishpatav v'ilduch din gamurhu. So what does the Rashbam say? Where does the authority of dinu malchus come from? Not because there's a chiyuv for them to set up laws, but because we're mekablit. It's all din in mechila. We go in and we say that when we live in the country, it's like we sign on the dotted line that we agree to listen to all the laws of the melech. Now, if that's the idea, that it's an implicit acceptance of all the king's law, of all the laws of the malchus, so which laws would it apply to? So, Pashtus, it should apply to Well, let's put it this way. What's mechayev us in Dina de Malchusa? Meaning, when we say Dina de Malchusa, not just why it's a good idea, what will make me have to do it? So the Rashbam is saying it's because I accepted to do it. Is accepting to do it a mechayev? What is acceptance a mechayev? Why is acceptance a mechayev? So you could say, well, it works me din mechila. Maybe you could say it works me din neder. I'm being no there to do whatever I'm supposed to do. And there will be big differences between the two. Mechila only works on mamon. Neder works on almost anything. I can take a neder to do anything.
Unless it's against the Torah.
Unless it's against the Torah. Good. Yeah?
If it's mechila, can't like each individual say like, oh, I'm not mochel, I don't accept it?
But by living there.
Good. So if definitely. Certainly if a pirate government starts taking over, and I'm part of the resistance, you know, so there's never an assumed mechila. There's a battle going on.
Then there's right? not a government who's in charge of that. I'm saying.
I was here first, and then this new government took over. So, but I couldn't get out. So there's no, is there an assumed mechila? Maybe not. So that would answer which kings, which places, would it matter whether it's Eretz Yisrael or Chutz La'aretz? Presumably, there's an assumed mechila. I choose to live there. So I'm going to live there with the assumption that I'm going to follow the laws. Although one could argue that no, that's only if it's a place where I choose to live. But what if I'm forced to live there? Regardless, Eretz Yisrael or Chutz La'aretz, I'm forced to live there. They don't let Jews out. So a Jew living in Russia, in you know, any part of the 20th century pretty much, so the Dina de Malchusa apply to him? Probably not, according to this. He's never his living there is not an indication of his mechila. What about a Jew in Eretz Yisrael? Is his living there an indication of his mechila?
Yeah.
Because, no, he's living there because he has to, because there's a mitzvah.
If you don't hold, there's a mitzvah to live there.
Oh, so that goes back to last week's
year. You live in Jordan.
What?
You live in Jordan.
And the Yossi Yishuv.
It's like he's saying the Rashbam.
It's not an Eilat, right? is this a Daraisa Drabanan or the Mechayv Daraisa Drabanan?
It's like
Neder is binding with Daraisa, right? Mechila is also binding with Daraisa, right? These are things that are binding with Daraisa. That's what the Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva, that Minhag is more severe than a Drabanan. Because a minhag very often involves a neder. That when I know what to do, or a davar tov, so that's like a neder. And neder can create a nisa daraisa. That's the power of neder. It's a phenomenal power that God gave us the ability to make our own yisur daraisa. It's a very scary power, not one to be abused, but we have that ability. I mentioned you have a friend who's unable to control himself in terms of what he eats, and he gains weight like crazy, except when he takes a neder not to eat cake. Unless he takes a neder not to eat fatty foods, he loses like 30, 40 pounds in a couple of months. Because it's one thing to control myself, but he just created this with our raisa. So we don't recommend doing that. You know, we recommend just controlling yourself, but you know, he created this with our raisa. I think whether it's Dina Mamanus or only Dina Mamanus or non Dina Mamanus. Between Jew and Jew, or only between Jew and non Jew? Do they have an indication? I don't know. What's the assumed Kabbalah? It depends on what kind of assumption you make. You're assuming that it'll be the Kabbalah of everything? I don't know. Maybe. Okay, that's Rashba. Says the Rash.
This is Chavirah.
Right. Rashbam says a lot of words over here that won't fit necessarily everything we just said. Right. He says Kol Masim Va'Anonios Umin Hagush Al Mishpatei Melachim. What's his emphasis? Taxes. He's, you know, then he adds in Min Hagush Al Mishpatei Melachim. I have no idea what that means. Shiragilim Lahanig B'Malchusam, that they generally make you follow. I'm not sure what that means. So I don't know how broad. I don't know if this includes jaywalking. Maybe that's mishpat malachim shurigim ma'adim malachusam. I'm not sure. But it does make it sound like from the Rashbam that these are things that are directives of the king, and it's not that he's interested in what happens between you and anybody. Meaning, in terms of you settling your own disputes with other people, I don't care if you do it. You know, this is about the melech. It's about things that are nogeya to the melech. That you're going to play by his rules because he's the melech. More along that line, along those lines, take a look at the Rush, source number 6, the Rush in the Darim, in the third paragraph. Behind the time of the Dina Dina, She'eret Shalohi, because it's his land. Va'af hediot sheish l'karka kach dino shelo yehana adam me'artso ele midaito uvekitzvaso. If a regular guy owns land, are you allowed to just go and live on that land? Well, yeah, if he tells you, you can. And if he tells you that if you want to live in this land, you're not allowed to walk in with your shoes on? Well, then you're not allowed to walk in with your shoes on. And if he tells you if you want to live in this land, you have to wear a blue shirt every day? Well, then you got to wear a blue shirt every day. Because it's his land. Who lets you walk on this land? So let's discuss. If that's where Din Malchus Dina comes from, which laws?
All of them.
L'chora, anything. He could tell you want to live here, these are my rules. Do they have to make sense?
No.
Right, according to Rashi, do they have to make sense? Absolutely. According to Rashbam, if a new law is passed that makes absolutely no sense, is what to argue? Is it an assumed mechila on everything, you know, or is it I'm mochel on things that make sense? But over here, according to the Rush, it doesn't have to make sense. It's his land; he can do whatever he wants. Does it have to benefit him? Doesn't even have to benefit him. He makes the rules. Which kings would a democracy be included?
Yeah.
Whose?
We the people.
We the people. So whose land is it? It's not President Obama's land. He does not own my house. It's not the way our government works. No member of the Supreme Court owns my house. No member of Congress owns my house. I own my house. I think. Right? I think that's the way it works, right? Hope so. What? All right, with a mortgage. Right, me and the bank own my house.
It's not one of the constitutions. There's no quartering.
What?
There's no quartering. Isn't there one of the?
Yeah, I don't know.
In Israel, it's all in Israel. It's 93% of it's owned by the government.
Really?
Yeah. Israel Land Authority. It's leased out.
Really? Oh, that's why it is in Israel. So okay, so then it would depend. So we shouldn't call it democracy versus not. It would depend on do they actually own the land. It all stems from land ownership.
It doesn't say that he owns land, it just says that it's their land. I mean, democracy.
Eretz Shalohi.
It's like a monetary.
So he says, and it's just like a hediot sheyesh lo karka. That if I own land, you want to live in my land, you got to behave like I want you to behave.
They own it. It's within their country, you know.
So who gives them the authority to tell me what to do?
They're in charge. Because they're in charge.
Why?
It's
so what he's telling you is, I'll tell you the reason why. It's because it's theirs. They own it. That's why. That's what he tells you. It's like a hediot sheyesh lo karka. No, isn't that what he's saying? I think so.
You're one of the owners. Also, like, you have a say. Just your law might not go through. You know what I'm saying? Makes sense. Like,
it's not talking about democracy.
Well, we're trying to see what he would say about democracy, you know.
Right. So what would you say about that democracy?
Let's say we all own the land together, and we decide the majority is what we base the laws on, so...
Ah, okay. But that's not the Rush, that's really the Rush Bob, then. Mm-hmm. Meaning that I'm mochel to whatever the... Right? In democracy, maybe he reverts to the Rashbam.
Do you think according to the Rashbam, we want to follow the law?
Would we not have followed the law unless the Rush would agree to the Rashbam? But, you know, according to whatever the Rush, what this Rush is describing as the source for Din al-Malchusa is not where Din al-Malchusa would not explain where Din al-Malchusa comes from in a democracy, I would think, or in America, let's say. Is it d'oraisa or d'rabbanan?
The land is still called the United States. It's called there. It's called. You know what I'm saying? Like, this whole where we are, it's all called the United States. It's like it's all technically belonging to the United States. Like if you're not from the United States, there are some people who can't live here because they're immigration laws or whatever. I'm saying there is some ownership.
You're saying it all depends on the authority to throw us out. It's more about the authority to throw us out than the.
So I guess that'll come down to that.
But if you want to be a citizen, that part of the rights of citizenship is our citizenship tally and following laws?
No. That's what I was saying. But the fact that you have your citizenship, you don't have the fear of being thrown out. Like, we're never going to be thrown out. As citizens, they can't do it.
Right.
They can't do it. They can put you in jail.
It works the opposite.
They can put us in jail, but that's just, you know, to protect society.
There's no fear of being expelled.
They can't, right, they can't expel us.
Could, if they wanted to.
But it's still proof that it's their land.
Can't.
I don't know. I'm not sure. That's right. Now, this Ran, this is the famous Ran. The Ran who agrees with this Rush says the same story and says that's why it doesn't apply in Eretz Yisrael. Because in Eretz Yisrael, we all own the land together. And if we all own the land together, who's the Melech to tell me what to do? So the Ran pretty much discusses what the case would be in a democracy. There's one built-in democracy, not democracy, but there's one built-in place where there's a shutfus, where we all own the land together. And that's Eretz Yisrael, because every Jew has a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. So if we all own it together, there's a, I don't care what a melech tells me. Yeah.
Similarly, from this and the other lands, it's all because of like some kind of fear that something's going to happen. So does that mean that even for things that no one's going to know about, it won't affect any part of society at all? Is it private? It wouldn't really affect anybody. It would still apply, or the fact that...
So is it the fear that they're going to throw me out, or is it that the fact that it's their house, that means...
Automatically on myself.
Right, meaning the mushroom. If I live in somebody else's house, right, and they tell me, look, rules in this house are no smoking, and I decide I'm going to sneak a cigarette when they can't see and they're not going to be home and the kids aren't going to be home, am I allowed to do that? It's the house rules. You're not allowed to do that. So Pashto says, I would think that you're bound by the house rules. They have the right to make the house rules, I would think. Again, as I pointed out yesterday, Shachter often points out that even if you hold like this Ran, that Din Malchus Dina doesn't apply in Eretz Yisrael, that's only in regards to the kinds of laws that are, you know, the Melech telling you to wear a blue shirt on Tuesdays, or the Melech telling you how to behave, what to, when they ask for money to pay for garbage pickup and to pay for a police force, and to pay, that's a din that shutfim generally do have to do. That when you're a shutf with somebody in the field, and it you know, you got to hire a gardener together, so you've got to pay for your share of the gardener also. So when you're a shutf with somebody in the country, and you got to hire an army, so you have to pay for that also. You have to hire people who are going to pave the roads. You got to pay for that also. That's a chiyuv in shutfus, in dinei shutfus in general. So that's, you know, we're talking in other types of laws. That's where the Ran would say dinei malchus dinei would not apply. Another interesting possible application is Beis Yosef in Chosh Mishpah, quotes from the Rashba, that it comes from Parshas Melech. Kalom Parshas Melech, Melech Mutubo. What's Parshas Melech? It's the Sefer Shmuel. The Jewish people asked for a king. It's one of the more confusing issues in Jewish history, is that we have a mitzvah in the Torah, that when we come to Eretz Yisrael, some tassu melech ha-melech, that we're supposed to appoint a king. Then the Jews actually try to do it, and they get a, you know, patch from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. How dare you ask for a king? What are you trying to do? It's not you they're insulting Shmuel, it's me they're insulting, Kadosh Baruch Hu says. Very, very strange story. So the Rishonim have a, and the Tanaim already have a significant debate about it. What exactly is our view of a melech? Is it a good thing, a bad thing, a conditional thing? What is it? But in that context, the Navi tells us, okay, you can have a king. Here, Shmuel, tell them what a king is going to be like. Tell them what a king can do. And the Pesukim say in Sros 9, you want a king? Here's what he's going to be able to do. He could draft your children just to work on a secret service or to be his driver. He could draft your children to work in the army, to fight in the army, to work in his fields, to weapon making. Vesperosechem yikach l'rachos l'tabachos l'ofos. He could take your daughters and decide that they're going to work in his kitchen. Vesodosechem v'skamechem v'zeisechem atovim yikach v'nasal avadav. If he walks by your house and he says, "Oh, I love what you did with the place. I'm taking it." So he could take it. Melech could do all these things, etc., etc. So, says Beis Yosef, it's based on that. That's where Dina Malchus comes from. That's not Torah law. Man, you can taste it. Guys are just going to walk into your house and say, "I like it, I'm taking it." You're not allowed to do that. Elamayim Melech is allowed to do that. Why? Because that's the definition of a Melech. So long as you have a concept of Melech, you have Dina Malchus Adina. Now, according to that approach, it's a wild approach. According to this, what kind of Melech does it apply to? Would it apply to democracy? Absolutely not. And only when you have a real Melech. According to this approach, does it have to make sense? Pashtos? Not. None of this makes sense. It could be extreme.
Actually, why wouldn't it apply to a democracy?
Because he doesn't have they don't have the Melech. They can't just go into the
there are laws that apply. If you don't follow them, you go to jail.
If you don't follow them, you go to jail. Yeah, those are their laws that they put in place. Who authorized them to put those laws in place? They're not a melech. Only melech put those laws in place.
You can repossess your house.
Parshas Melech tells us that if you have someone who is a melech, he's allowed to do whatever he wants. They can't repossess my house.
See, what would they?
Like, the IRS can't you repossess your house, but you can't pay
that's
off
exactly
your stuff.
The money.
Yeah.
Be, what would you say that they would call?
No, but it's just stump to walk into my house and say, "I like it, I'm taking it."
I know they can't do that.
What would Rebbe say that they would call the president?
The question is, does this relate to, let's say, the bracha on the melech? The bracha on the melech? Would this relate to other halachos of the melech? Like, would you make a bracha when you meet the president? So this is a major machlokas poskim, whether you would or wouldn't. I think many people do make a bracha when they meet the president. The president is certainly aware of it. He's aware of the bracha. That's each president of the United States meets with enough Jewish groups that they're aware of the bracha. There are those that say, "No, you can't make a bracha. He's not a melech. He's going to be voted. He could be voted out of office. He has a term limit." Unless you're Michael Bloomberg, you just keep changing those. But generally, there are term limits. He can't be melech forever.
You were saying he could also be overthrown.
Well, a melech could be overthrown, but that would take a rebellion.
I'm saying, the point is that who says that a melech? What else would they have called the president if the halacha was trying? If they were trying to come up with some sort of
a chayv misa if you married the malchus?
No,
it would be a scandal. If someone were to insult, if Rush Limbaugh were to insult President Obama, not that that would ever happen on the air, and everyone would hear it. That's murder of Malchus. What kind of Melech stands for that? He's not a Melech. The country would go. In a country with a Melech, with a real Melech, if someone was murdered Malchus and the Melech decided, "You know what? Enough of you, off with your head." Okay, he's the Melech. He gets to decide that. But not here.
So there's no Melech, so it could be a Malchus.
Oh, so there could be a Malchus. No, there might, maybe there is this thing as such thing as a malchus and a melech. No, but do you know the malchus? So according to this,
the king.
Yeah. Maybe not. Maybe malchus just means government.
So maybe malchus just means overseer.
Yeah.
This relates to whether we're experiencing rishus vichas kula seinu. Have we fulfilled the hamadla melech when we came back into Eretz Yisrael in 1948? We established a Jewish government. So we've established a malchus of some sort, but no melech, really.
Maybe melech means just someone who's ruling.
Yeah, that's what Morty's are arguing. I'm not sure. I don't think so. If you hold that it's based in Parshas Melech, this Parshas Melech is only for a real melech.
Think about it. There's like a melech and he gets like killed or whatever. Until the next melech is appointed, there's still a malchus.
Because they're in the system of a melech. Because they're just in the system of a melech.
Yeah, not necessarily. I'm not convinced. Would this apply midarais or midrabanan? Probably midirei kabbalah, right? This is all described in the Navi. Now there are weaknesses in this argument that this is where Din Melech Hazadin comes from, namely that it's a machlokes whether kol am parshas melech melech mutarbo or melech asurbo. It could be that we paskin that Hakadosh Baruch Hu is telling Shmuel, tell them this. It's not true, but tell it to them, just to scare them.
You're saying this is the source for dealing the mechus din.
I'm not saying Beis Yosef quotes from Rashba.
This is in Eretz Yisrael with the Jewish
king. So it's quite an expansion of this din. It's saying that this, you want a melech kechol agayim. You know what a melech kechol agayim could do? This is what a melech kechol agayim could do.
That has nothing to do with it.
Meaning even kechol agayim could do this.
But maybe you can say that, oh, this is what a king of goyim could do, but that has nothing, what does that have to do with Jews?
If we recognize the right of a non-Jewish king to do this, then we have to, then he can do it.
But why would he be telling them about what a non-Jewish king can do? Why wouldn't he be telling them, that's not what they asked for.
Yeah, they did. They asked for a king like the goyim. Oh yeah? That's what you want? Let me explain to you what a king like the goyim does. That was a direct response to that question.
Mm-hmm. But he's not saying it within the context of living in Galus. It's within the context of living in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, this is the power of a king in Eretz Yisrael. What does that have to do with me living not in Eretz Yisrael?
Again, I think he's saying that it's not only about Eretz Yisrael. They were asking Kechol HaGoyim, and the answer was, well, a melech Kechol HaGoyim is what a melech Kechol HaGoyim is all for.
Yeah, to his people, not to me.
If I live there, then I am his people. The final one, just before we finish here, that I wanted to touch on, is the Dvar Avram in the name of Rabbeinu Yonah. Dvar Avram writes in the name of Rabbeinu Yonah that it's all din hefker beis nefker. That's a very limiting din. That hefker beis nefker doesn't just mean you need a beis din with musmachim or whatever. It means a governing authority. Hefker beis nefker is the authority has the right to declare your stuff hefker. So if they want your money, they have the right to declare your money hefker. Now, who would that apply to? Which kings? Any governing authority, l'chora. Which places? Anywhere, l'chora. Anywhere that somebody's running the show. Would it be d'oraisa d'rabban? Hefker beis nefker is in d'oraisa pashtos. But which laws would it apply to? This would only apply to money. Can't apply to anything else. Jaywalking not included. Right? This is only monetary laws. Does it have to be something that benefits the king? Even if it is something that benefits the king, if it's not money, there's no hefker beis nefker.
If there's a fine, is it considered it's monetary?
If there's a fine, right. They can say yes, yes. If it's a monetary punishment, they can do it. Can they throw you in jail? No. But monetary punishment, they'd be able to do. That's l'chora what would emerge from here. So you're right, jaywalking is a fine, so that would be a guess.
The punishment has to be monetary, or the action has to be related to monetary?
To make you obligated to pay that, meaning you'd be allowed to jaywalk, but then you would have to pay. Okay, I guess we'll stop there. We'll try to. I'm going to give shiur tomorrow because I'm not going to be able to give shiur Sunday. Maybe Rabbi Levin will give Sunday. Tomorrow we'll try to finish up the new office.